Well, it's been a really, really long time since I recorded an episode. Apologize to all my dedicated and faithful listeners for not having uploaded an episode in so long. But nonetheless, welcome back. This is the Rambler Podcast with your host, Luke. So many things to talk about, or really just ramble about in regards to, I don't know, I guess whatever I want. So I think the last thing that I'd maybe talked about was TV shows that I was watching or started at least since the last episode I posted. I finished Succession, or rather Succession finished. It was a really good series. I liked it definitely. I mean, I'm sure there's some truth to it, but I don't know how much. But it definitely gave at least some insight in regards to, what it would be like if you had a family that was over or heir to a massive media company, because it was supposed to be loosely based on or based off of Rupert Murdoch and Fox and all his wonderful media outlets. But it definitely was a really good series. It sadly, one, it ended, and then two, it ended as I was expecting, in a good and sad way. Obviously, I won't spoil it for anybody that is gonna watch the series, but it definitely was one of those where it made sense, but in a sad way, not just for the viewers, but also for the characters as well. I did also start the new, I guess you'd say, Sunday night HBO show that is, kind of, I guess you'd say, airing in the time slot where Succession was. It's called The Idol, which is supposed to be the, I don't know, creator of Euphoria. It's supposed to be that person's take. I don't know if it was a man or a woman, so, they just get pluralized. It's supposed to be their take on the music industry. So, of course, it'll be a whole bunch of, sex and drugs and shadiness and nonsense and whatnot. So I didn't know that the female main character is Lily Depp, obviously Johnny Depp's daughter, and then the main male lead or male character is The Weeknd, which I'll definitely say, immediately once you see him, gives off bad guy, creeper vibes immediately and continues. Only two episodes are out, but it still is interesting. I mean, it's, the first couple episodes, so it's really just kind of laying the foundation. I don't know how many seasons or what the goal seasons wise is. I'm sure it'll, hopefully be more than one. I mean, it's kind of predictable in a sense because of those things that I listed, like, the sex and the drugs and alcohol and all that sort of stuff. So you're not really surprised that those things are constantly in the episodes. But I mean, you can't really have a music industry without, sex, drugs, and alcohol, I guess, unless you're going to, like, the, I guess maybe the gospel genre, because pretty much all the other genres are gonna have one, if not two or all three of those particular items. And it, of course, shows, you know, basically the Lily Depp's character is, I don't know, maybe a Britney Spears-like character where, you know, she's got a team around her and she's had some, you know, horrible shit happen in her life and, you know, the struggles of being a pop star when, you know, everybody thinks that it's just puppies and rainbows and it's really just, you know, shit storm and depression and, you know, everybody just being a bunch of yes men and women instead of actually, you know, having your real best interest in heart. Instead, it's just, you know, how much longer can you keep your shit together so we can make some money out of you before you know, go to rehab for the umpteenth time or go to prison on some, you know, DUI or some other type of charges. But I think it'll be good. Of course, I'm definitely looking forward to any and all of the music that will come, not just for whatever Weeknd puts out, but I mean, I do like a lot of his stuff. One, I mean, because he obviously has a great voice, but two, he's really good about picking tracks or producers to work with. And then, of course, most importantly to me, three, the lyrics are always really good. Lots of, you know, double entendres and things like that. Which I had to remember talking with a friend one time where I had sadly joked that he hadn't put out an album in, I think it was almost, it was close to a year. And I had sadly joked that I needed him to date or fall in love with some girl so that, you know, she could break his heart and he could use it as a means to put out some more music because it had been too long. Which is unfortunate, but I mean, you know, he's kind of done that on a couple albums, or at least, you know, enough songs on one album to serve as kind of a recurring muse, but not as, I guess, maybe obvious of a theme as like old Taylor Swift. Still haven't finished season one of Sons of Anarchy. Definitely wanting to, I mean, obviously finish the, well, no, I did finish season one. I made it to season two. I'm in like the first couple episodes. Definitely, of course, want to finish the series, but trying to, you know, I guess you'd say multitask between shows. And then also, oh my gosh, I made it through season one of Stranger Things. I need to pick up where I left off with that. I started watching the first episode of Barry on HBO, which that also looks interesting too. Bill Hader is I think he's a Marine that's, or a former Marine, always a Marine, however you want to word it, that think is a contract killer, but maybe wants to be an actor or try to be an actor. I don't know. I've only got about halfway through the episode whenever I started it. Another show that I had started was a show called Silo, which I think is on Apple TV or Apple, whatever they use. Which that one looks really interesting too, because of the it's basically at some point in the future. They don't really tell you when, and the entire cast lives basically in, as the show would be titled, a silo. And the entire, it's like an entire community. Each level is, you know, like one level's like farming and one level's, you know, responsible for like the power, the electricity, the water, like everything. It's just all in one gigantic silo. So, I mean, it looks really interesting. Looks real, you know, kind of futuristic. I think friend of mine said it's got, you know, some lost elements to it. Speaking of lost, there's another show I saw just like one episode of was a show called From, where, well, I mean, the reason why it made me think of Lost because there's a character from Lost who was in the From TV show. Apparently, it's just some town, kind of, I don't know, middle of nowhere, and the people, I guess, like once you go in, you can't really leave, or find a way out, rather. There's like some creatures, I guess, in the wooded area. Everybody kind of lives or kind of keeps to themselves somewhat. I don't know, but I only saw bits and pieces of excuse me, first episode of that show while a friend was watching it. But I mean, definitely looked interesting, but the first episodes always are because of them being the pilots and trying to get, you know, picked up or continued on by a network. Also, let's see what other shows. There's always, sadly, a never-ending list of either TV shows I'm wanting to watch or I've started and I gotta pick up where I left off. The new season of Always Sunny in Philadelphia started a couple weeks ago, and of course, excuse me, pick up right where it left off, just with nonsense and shenanigans. The first two episodes in, I think it's the 17th. I think it's the 17th season, and I honestly hope that they'll just keep making them until, I guess, the actors decide to quit, but I don't really see how they would, as long as they get to just keep having creative control and FX, the network, just lets them do whatever they want pretty much. It just keeps getting viewers and keeps bringing in money. And speaking of money, it's time for some ads. Help keep this podcast funded. Software is one of the most important parts of a business. The best companies run on the best software, which is why you should use Inatech for all your software needs. With over 50 types of software, no matter your business, they have the software to keep your business from getting hard. For your software needs, contact Inatech today. Bada Bing Gentlemen's Club has all the resources for your adult entertainment needs, no matter the night of the week. Bada Bing Gentlemen's Club has the most beautiful and talented dancers for your viewing pleasure. With drink specials and an excellent buffet, the entertainment at Bada Bing's Gentlemen's Club will always keep the smile on your face and nonstop excitement below your waist. Stop in this evening. I also did start a couple more books, of course, just because, I mean, just like with wanting to watch TV shows or constantly watching either a series or a documentary or like a docu-series, I guess. Oh yeah, speaking of, before I get to the books, I watched the, I don't know what it's worded, on HBO is the Jared Fogle documentary, the Jared, the guy from Subway. But the only thing that I mean, I remembered, of course, the story, like whenever it, you know, it broke and came out and like more and more stuff came out. But I remember before watching the series, I do remember actually the moment that, obviously, I mean, what person would condone this behavior? But nonetheless, I remember the part where he actually slipped, so to speak, was he was at like a it was a speaking arrangement at a middle school, and he made a comment to a woman who he had only known for maybe like a few days. He had made a comment to the woman about how hot or attractive middle schoolers were, but just said it in like just such a nonchalant way, like that wasn't, anything suspicious or out of the ordinary. And then the documentary just basically talks, or it's mainly about her and the extent she goes to because of just that one comment that he made to her, that she then, develops a relationship with him to try and get more and more information and or evidence on him to, of course, one, have him arrested, and also two, protect any, recent or current or potential victims of his, because he doesn't sadly shy away from at least divulging to her his, thoughts and desires, which was, of course, horrible and, I mean, unacceptable. But then too, the thing that it wasn't just, oh, okay, the Jared guy's a pedophile. Like, yeah, sadly there are lots of pedophiles, but the main thing that she was, of course, most concerned with was his access to kids because of all of his speaking engagements and interactions with schools, because of course they were, promoting healthy eating and exercise and whatnot. And that was his thing, was that whenever he was in grade school was how he just ate and ate. And by, I think it was late middle school, so I don't know, 7th grade-ish, he was already like 300 plus pounds. And so of course, after hearing that, like in his story, I'm sure the Subway people were like, oh, you should go and talk to kids, so you can try and warn them or head them off about, the dangers of eating or unhealthy eating, or being obese at such a young age, and the difficulties and struggles and whatnot. But it was, of course, as not as shocking, given that it had happened a while back. And then of course it's, you're watching a documentary on stuff, on you're already knowing the ending, but you're just kind of finding out bits and pieces of the story that you didn't know the details on. And then they also, do some interviews with victims. But I mean, it was interesting to watch, just to find out the additional stuff. It is difficult docuseries to watch, but I mean, I would say, it's worth watching if you're able to know, obviously, before watching it, what's kind of to be expected, more or less. But then there are also, I don't know, probably about 4 or 5 documentaries that I'd like to watch on HBO. There's a couple musician related ones. There's one of Jason Isbell, and I believe it's not, I don't think it's supposed to be about like his life or anything like that. I think it's just about the second to last album that he recorded. And then there was the one on Anthony Bourdain, which I did start, but it was kind of, I don't know, difficult to watch. Oh my God, about maybe, excuse me, yawning, so tired. Got about maybe, I don't know, 20-ish minutes through it. It was just kind of a difficult, difficult to watch, knowing, you know, what a unique and interesting person he was, all the things that he, I guess you'd say, got to do and see and experience, and then for it to, you know, unfortunately have, of course, ended. I know there's, you know, speculation in regards to how his death came to be. I've heard, you know, of course, that it was just he hung himself. I've heard that it was because of finding out that his no, girlfriend, wife at the time was cheating on him. And I also had heard another conspiracy that he was involved with some other celebrities in plans to expose some people that were involved with sex trafficking or child trafficking. But nonetheless, it was, I'd say, difficult to get through even what I got through. Just, it's also what I'm sure the Robin Williams one on HBO is going to be like, just watching, you know, a documentary on a very influential person, but knowing sadly how their life ended. But I'll probably, you know, pick up on the Anthony Bourdain one and finish it, and then, you know, on the other ones I wanted to watch. The books I had started, of course, much like the liking to watch multiple series at the same time, I also do that with books. I also have kind of like I guess you could probably say a book problem, which I guess is a good and a bad thing. I mean, good because I like to, you know, get all types of books, different genres, mainly nonfiction, just because I always think it's interesting to read about so many different parts of, I guess, just life would be a good encapsulating word, but all the different areas and topics that fall into that word. But one I had been chipping away at was the, I guess you'd say, autobiography that David Goggins did, who he's a former Navy SEAL and also, well, I mean, now was had done a lot of motivational speaking, but had become like a marathoner, or, you know, marathoner, marathon. Well, I guess marathoner. I don't know, runner, whatever. And then did super marathons, you know, more than like, you know, 50, 100 plus miles. And then had decided to go into very, I don't know, kind of, I wouldn't say extreme, but just, you know, very extreme lines of work. Like, I think the most recent interview that I saw that he did was he's now doing firefighting, where, you know, he just gets teamed up with other, you know, firefighters on a crew and just gets dropped off, you know, controls, wildfires. I think it was like Canada, maybe, was where he was at. But anyways, he's done a second book, but this one actually is the first one, and it was about halfway through it. Parts of it, of course, are very difficult to read, because I mean he has a very, bad upbringing. I mean, just home life and school where he lived. Just, I mean, it was definitely, he's supposed to be a statistic in a number of categories, like upbringing, but knew that, military in some branch was going to be his best way to do something and make something of himself. So that was the route he chose. And then it just talks about him, all of his trials and tribulations and difficulties that he overcame just to get into the military, and then from there, what he had to endure throughout his training and his time within the, more specifically, the Navy SEALs. That's about where I'm at, is him finishing, him finally graduating from Buds, and then going from there into being part of, I think it's SEAL Team 5, I want to say. But I mean, definitely just an interesting read because of how he talks about pushing, just constantly pushing himself to the limit, where, like, how some people will say, like, mind over matter. I would say his way of actually acting it out would be farther than that, because it's just like, it's like whenever somebody talks about, like, doing, like, bench press, for example, and it's just reps until failure, which just means, like, you just can't do any more. That's like what he does, but it's just him pushing his body to the limit, like with doing the super marathons, or, like, trying to break and then reset the world record for, pull-ups in a day, or push-ups in a day. But it's just constant training. But the way he approaches it is that it's just about, armoring yourself so that you can be so mentally tough that you don't allow the physical pain of your body to actually affect you, because you're so strong mentally that you're able to overcome what would be your physical pain. Secondly, I had started a book that I had actually been looking forward to getting ever since I saw that it was on Amazon for pre-order. It's a book called Harold, which is a novel by a comedian named Stephen Wright, who is I would say my favorite comedian of all time. Not because I actually got to meet him by chance, really, but just because of his style of humor. It's very relatable to, I would say, one of my styles of humor. And then also, like, the thought process that he has to come up with his material. But it's basically, the book is about a boy named Harold, who is a 9-year-old boy, and it just takes place over the course of one day while he's in school. And it basically just involves a lot of interior monologue. So Harold, the thoughts in Harold's head and his observations, which again is very, very relatable. The other book that I had started was one that I had also got used off of Amazon, but it is Bobby Fischer Teaches Chess. Which I had learned how to play chess years ago, like I think it was like freshman year of high school, and I always liked it, and it was interesting, and it was, of course, you know, interesting for the sake of the strategy and trying to, you know, figure out how to move and pieces and whatnot, but didn't really ever actually learn strategy in a sense. So I thought that it would be interesting to buy a book on it, and of course, you know, a book by a great chess player like Bobby Fischer would be a good one to read, because it'll talk about, you know, the breakdowns of different openings, and then, you know, ways to play the middle game, and then ways to play the end game, you know, different strategies for using certain pieces to start with, and then of course whenever you only have certain pieces remaining, and then of course strategies for checkmate. So just a lot of different, to me, interesting information about the game itself and then how to play it. It'll have questions as far as showing you like a board with the pieces on it, and you know, what's the correct move or what's the way to get out of this particular situation. So that's another thing that I thought was really cool about it, and why I wanted to get it, instead of it just saying like, these are the pieces and this is how you move them. Instead, it actually will teach you, but then also test you, like it's got practice questions, but with visual examples of showing the layout of the chessboard. And as I had mentioned earlier, the Anthony Bourdain documentary, he had written a book years ago called Kitchen Confidential, where he basically wrote about his experience as a cook, and then from the different levels all the way up to chef of a, you know, prestigious restaurant in New York City. And I started that one, of course, just because of being a kitchen guy. Worked in many restaurants during college, and then even after college, and then just kind of one of those jobs where you can just always, you can just do it really anywhere. It's just, you know, a restaurant job, for those of you that have never worked in a restaurant, is one of those professions where it's just a different, it's just different menu items, but it's still a same process. It's just, you know, different ingredients and different, again, menu items, but it still is kind of like, once you learn it, it's a real easy line of work to always have to fall back on. Is just kind of like, I don't know, I guess the equivalent of the front of the house being like a server. Like a server could just always go get a job somewhere as a server. Waiting tables is, you know, people want to order food and people want to order drinks, and you bring food and drinks and they pay and leave. It's just, you know, rinse, repeat. But the way in which he writes the story is very much like how he speaks, if you've ever heard him speak, which is just very unfiltered and very matter-of-fact, pretty much the way you would speak in a restaurant and in a kitchen. All the things that go into it, the tiredness, the adrenaline, the love for, you know, getting in the weeds or getting your ass kicked or having to work doubles or having to pick up shifts or having to close, and just all that, all the stuff that goes into that. And it just is a book I'm really looking forward to reading, in addition to the others. Well, that is the end of the episode. I hope you all have enjoyed it, and I will really do my best this this time around to post more frequently. I'm trying out a newer I guess you'd say format, but also just a new way of recording. Hopefully it sounds better, and it'll enable me to record more frequently. Well, anyways, thanks. Have a good day.